And welcome back into the game here in Tuscaloosa on Tide 99.1 at Tide99.1.com, the home of Alabama sports. Right now, I welcome in a Hall of Football player, Hall of Fame football player in the college level. He was the second runner-up to the Heisman Trophy back in the 50s. Legendary coach, Coach Johnny Majors, who represents the Tennessee Volunteers, won a championship there at Pittsburgh. Coach Majors, welcome back to Tuscaloosa. I hope you're doing well, sir.
I'm doing great. Feeling good. Health feels good. But I'm heading to Pittsburgh tomorrow for a reunion of our football teams of 1973, 4, 5, and 6, which is a national championship. The only undefeated team in the country that year, and untied. Was not tied, so I'm going to miss the Alabama-Tennessee game, which I'd like to see, but I'm leaving tomorrow for Pittsburgh, and I've got a great reunion.
Absolutely, and I know that that was a big part of your coaching days, and let me just ask you, what was the decision to come back to your alma mater? How tough of a decision was that, winning a national title and then replacing Bill Battle at the University of Tennessee?
I don't even like to talk about it. It was the toughest decision that I ever had to make, I think, in my entire life, without question, because I love Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh liked me pretty well, because they hadn't had any success in a long time. That sounds immodest, but it's true. We had a great relationship. The people of Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania, I loved it. I felt at home in 2 weeks. Normally, where I went before moved, I took me a kind of a maybe a year to kind of get really acclimated and like going to Iowa State at my first head coaching job. You know, it was cold and that tough job, one of the toughest jobs in the country. But that was the hardest decision. We left them on top. They had a great recruiting year, which you normally do when you're winning big. And when you start winning big, it kind of mushrooms like it did at Florida State for a while. And Bobby Bowden, once he turned it around. And Nick Saban, you know, it just kind of snowballs. It's better recruiting. I wouldn't say the country of easy, but it sure is. You're more apt to get more good players when you win and win championships than you do the other way. It was somewhat depressing for several months, thinking about what I'd left there. And it's struggling to get our feet on the ground and establish a solid program here, which took 2 or 3 years. And it was a tough decision. I've had hundreds of people ask us, why did you leave Pittsburgh? I said, I didn't want to leave Pittsburgh. Frankly speaking, I wanted to stay more than I wanted to go. But I've always wondered what it would have been like to have coached my alma mater. It might not have been the smartest move in my life, but I ended up with an exciting career here until I was knifed in the back my last year after having great success. I had a good experience here after a couple of years of trying to get things turned around. And Tennessee is a great place to live. I've got a lot of people. I've got a lot of friends in this state. And I love living here. So it turned out to be a worthwhile experience. And we won some big games, a few championships. But I think we could had a great chance to win 2 or 3 more national ones at Pittsburgh. But who knows? Things are what they are, and I made the decision. But it sure was very, very tough.
I want to go back to your playing days. Let me go back to the Alabama-Tennessee game because it was important to that program. It's very important to this program. It's just the third Saturday of October. And I know it's played on the fourth Saturday now because of the East and West split back in the early 90s. But let me talk about it as a player's perspective. What did the Alabama game mean to you as a player?
Well, without question, Alabama-Tennessee rivalry was the most important one to us and to Alabama since probably when they renewed it in 1928. And as General Nealon used to say, I didn't play with General Nealon. We were the last seniors in high school that were signed to him. And we ended up playing with it for the Neyland staff, with the exception of him being the head coach. And he became athletic director. He always said, you can tell what kind of player you've got on wearing an orange shirt once you play Alabama. And I think Alabama had the same respect. It's a great rivalry. It was a great rivalry. It's to me, it's equal and similar to the Oklahoma-Texas rivalry, the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry, and the A&M-Texas rivalry. This is one of the, I think, half a dozen best rivalries, considering the strength of the teams through the years. Yeah, Indiana, well, I should say Minnesota and Iowa's a big rival, but their teams have not been as strong historically as Tennessee and Alabama. So it's something we always look forward to, and I think Alabama did it until Auburn got real strong. It definitely was the main rivalry in the South, and it's been a streak rivalry. There have been streaks by both teams winning and the other team losing. One of the maybe most streaked series of any of the major series in the country. But it meant a lot. I started my first game as a sophomore, freshman in Ellsville in those days. We had a freshman schedule, but I started my first game against Alabama because our first string tailback was hurt. And it certainly was not an auspicious beginning. I threw three interceptions to Alabama, and they beat us like 27-0. Albert Elmore had a great day for Alabama as their quarterback, but we got a new coach there. Barron White came to town, and we shut Alabama 20-0 my junior year, and we shut them out 24-0 my senior year in Knoxville. And I had two younger brothers that played three times against Alabama. My brother Bill was a starting tailback at Tennessee for 3 years, and my brother Bob was a starting receiver as a sophomore, and was an All-American safety man his junior and senior year, and led the nation punt returns, kickoff returns, and interceptions, I believe. So three of us played a lot of football against Alabama in Birmingham and in Knoxville. And, of course, counting Auburn, we played a lot with them. But you're talking about Tennessee-Alabama now. Well, I was on the team that played the first Auburn team in just 1939. We played them in 56. And that was a great rivalry, but now we're talking about Tennessee and Alabama, so we'll get back to that.
Let me go back to that streak, because you were talking about a streak a couple of minutes ago. You were the head coach with the Tennessee Volunteers, broke the longest streak in this rivalry's history. It was an 11-year streak from the early 70s to the early 80s. You broke that streak in 1982 by beating Coach Bryant. Talk about that game. What do you remember about that game?
Well, I know this. It was ecstasy at its height. Coach Bryant, of course, one of the great coaches of all time, and I have a lot of respect for Coach Bryant. My dad was a coach. They had a lot of similarities. They were born the same year, and they were fine-looking men, and they grew up on small subsistence farm properties, and rode to town on a wagon. Quite often, which was a few miles away. But anyway, Coach Bryant was a great coach, and he always treated me very well, except on Saturday, not always. And he's one of the first two coaches that sent me a prospect letter when I was a sophomore junior in high school. He was head coach at Kentucky, so I got one from him and one from Mississippi State were the first two. So we go way back. I didn't visit Kentucky. And he tried to recruit my brother Bill. My brother Joe did go to Alabama. He's his second brother. And he was around here at Whitworth in 1955 when I was a junior at Tennessee, and he was miserable. So he transferred to Florida State, played quarterback and safety man. And okay. And then he did recruit Bob, my brother, youngest brother, very hard. And Bob, of course, came to Tennessee. But what I remember about it, I don't remember who was favored. I really don't. I imagine they were. They had a great option quarterback. I know his name. I can't think of it. He's a black youngster.
Was it Walter Lewis?
Good. I believe he was maybe a sophomore that year.
Walter Lewis?
I believe it was. Yeah. Now, but it was a run and shoot deal, man. It was wide open. The score was 35, I believe, to 28. And we had to knock down a pass in the end zone in the last minute or two of play. It was tipped by one of our players, and the other one intercepted for a touchback. And I know we had to make a critical third down play to run the clock out, third in a delay pattern to the tight end with about 2 minutes to go to get out of our deep end of the field. But I didn't want to punt because they had a dangerous team, and the wishbone was tough to defend. But I think with our passing game, I think we threw three or four touchdown passes, and Alan Cocker, our quarterback, had a great day. I'm pretty sure I went for two that we did, but I made the decision. I think we went for 2 points maybe when we were ahead, but more than a touchdown, which I rarely ever did. And I wanted to get that 7-point lead. I don't remember specifically, but I'm pretty sure once or twice we went for 2 points and made it when we were leading. And when the game was over, we intercepted that tip pass. The fans stayed for an hour or two. Not all of them, of course, but I say 10,000 or so, probably 10,000 or 15,000 stayed for an hour, calling for our players to come out. So Ken kept calling for me to come out, but I'm not all that modest all the time, but I didn't want to steal anything with players. And I didn't go out for about a half an hour. They kept yelling, so finally I went out. They were wild. They cut the goalposts down. They carried them down through campus town. They cut them up in pieces and sold them to people that I ended up autographing. And it was a great relief to get that blame streak stopped. And then we won 4 straight games at that time. So it's been a streak rivalry. But that was we had some game-busting games with Alabama. The next year we won down at Tuscaloosa and on a 66-yard run by Johnny Jones in the last 3 minutes or so. It was a go-getter. I know Walter Lewis was playing in that game, and Tony Robinson went for 2 points. Alabama was wearing us out the next year in 1984. They were wearing us out. They had us down 21-7 early in the fourth quarter, and the fans were leaving like cows going to get fed. They missed a lot of excitement. We weren't slowing them down, and Alabama had a big fullback, and he fumbled. They were going to go ahead and score again and make it 28-7 early in the fourth quarter, and he fumbled, and we got it. That's the only way we stopped him, and then we got a punt return to set up a touchdown, and got another touchdown, and Tony Robinson, we went for 2, and he was on an option play. Tony Robinson scored. He happened to be the best talented quarterback I ever coached, and we beat him 22-21. And so we had a good streak going in those 4 games, but it's been a great series, and I've heard my dad talk about it when I was a kid. Talking about Beatty Feathers, the great Tennessee tailback in 1931 or 32, again, going against Johnny Coon, Alabama's great tailback. And they had a punting duel, a funny day. They had about 20 punts total, 20 to 25 punts total between them. And Tennessee won that one, I believe, down in Alabama. But I was a big Harry Gilmer fan when I was a kid. I liked Alabama and I liked Tennessee. And I liked Army most of all with Blanchard Davis, two Heisman Trophy winners in the same backfield. But I liked Alabama because of Harry Gilmer, and I still name that backfield. And I loved Tennessee at that time. And I even liked Vanderbilt because I lived down south of Nashville. But I've always had respect for the Crimson Tide. And the first 3 times I saw Tennessee play, 1950, 51, and 52, all against Alabama. And that was really something. That's when everybody wore the red jerseys. I saw the first one in Knoxville, and Alabama's crimson jerseys and the Million Dollar Band. Tennessee's Pride of the Southland Band with their orange jerseys. And the next year I went to Birmingham, and the next year I came to Knoxville, and Tennessee was victorious all 3 games, and I decided to come to Tennessee. And I want to be a big-time player. and I wanted to play against Alabama. Alabama didn't offer me a scholarship. My little high school was only 5 miles above the Alabama line, but I never held out against them because I had several scholarship offers. Tennessee is where I should be. I was a single wing tailback, and Tennessee had a single wing. And my dad was a great high school coach. But enough of that. I don't want to get you too far off of your subject.
Well, Coach, it's an amazing rivalry, and I think it's a mutual respect for both sides. It's the third Saturday of October. It means something to college football, and it means something to both fan bases. Not tomorrow. One more day between that, so we got 2 days away. What are you expecting out of this game on Saturday afternoon?
Well, I'm certainly not a pessimist, but I'm pretty much a realist. I've always had hope that we'd win, but I don't think Tennessee's got a very good chance to win. I really don't. It would be one of the great upsets, I think, in that's saying a lot in the history of football. Football's been played 150 years in America, but I think it'd be a miraculous upset for it to happen, because Tennessee's having it. Tennessee they can't move the ball on the ground, and Alabama has had great defenses under Nick Saban, and had great ones under Bear Bryant, but they've had great defenses under Nick Saban, and they got rolling last week. I saw them play against Arkansas, and I think they were pretty fortunate to beat Arkansas. I was out there for a reunion for the 64 team where I coached the defensive backs, and I think they were pretty damn fortunate. That wasn't a typical Alabama team that night. They made a lot of mistakes. It looks like they got a lot of things turned around last week, so looks like they may be on a new run, and I think it'll be very tough for Tennessee.
Coach, I've always enjoyed following your career, and I've always appreciated you coming on and being a part of my show in Tuscaloosa. Hall of Fame football player, a member of the College Football Hall of Fame, a legendary coach in the Southeastern Conference, coaching for the Tennessee Volunteers. The third Saturday in October has been our discussion. Coach Majors, thank you so much for giving me a couple of minutes of your time to visit with us folks in Tuscaloosa. I hope you have a great evening, and thank you again, sir.
Okay, and by the way, real quickly, if you ever see Hootie Ingram around there, who played at Alabama and was athletic director, I coached with Hootie 1 year at Arkansas. He's a great friend. If you get a chance to talk to him or ever see him, tell him John Majors, his friend, said hello.
I sure will. And to be honest with you, each and every game, he's in the press box. His seat is directly behind mine. And sometimes we'll have a hot dog and talk about the football and obviously to be able to tap into a brain like Hootie Ingram and one of the all-time defensive backs here at the University of Alabama. I'm glad you brought him up. He's certainly a super guy and a big part of the family here in Tuscaloosa. Thank you again, Coach.
Okay, bye-bye.
Absolutely. That was Coach Johnny Majors on a Throwback Thursday presented by Brian Harden Construction here in West Alabama. As we continue, Brian Harden Construction, a big part of our program throughout the state of Alabama, our neighboring states as well. We appreciate Coach Johnny Majors, big part of the Tennessee Volunteers tradition.